Hey everybody, welcome back to Look at the Book again today. Hope you're having a good day today. Today we're going to deal with a topic that's a little difficult to really get a lot of handle on, but hopefully we can get some idea of this subject. And we've been looking at in the garden how God prepared the garden and placed it and made it perfect for man, put him in there, and then how man was alone, and so God created woman from man. And now then we're up to chapter 3 where we know Satan is going to come onto the picture and tempt Adam and Eve. But before we get to that temptation, I want to spend just a little bit of time today asking about or trying to answer the question, where did the devil come from? Little is suggested in the Bible about Satan's beginning. But just because God... We can know, let me say it this way, we can know that Satan was a created being, okay? But just because God created Satan does not mean that he created him evil. Rather, God created him good. We know that. Why? Because the Bible tells us that at the end of creation, everything was very good. But Satan chose to become evil. Now, how did he do that? Well, let's read a few verses. I want to start with Ezekiel chapter 28, verse 15 says this: "You were perfect in your ways from the day you were created." If he was perfect, then what went wrong? Well, if we go down to chapter 28, Ezekiel 28, verse 15, later on in it, it says, "Till iniquity was found in you." So he was created perfect, but then iniquity was found in him. Now, what was this iniquity? Well, there are a lot of ideas. Some of those believe that the devil was corrupted through pride. The Bible indicates that Satan was one of the angels who lived in heaven. But he, along with other angels, rebelled against God and was cast out of heaven. The Apostle Peter said this: "God did not spare the angels who sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into the chains of darkness to be reserved for judgment." In Jude 6, verses 6 and 7, there's only one chapter in Jude, it says, "And the angels who kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness unto the judgment of the great day." At some point in time, heavenly messengers left their own habitation. Okay. Generally, we believe that to be in heaven, and the place they forsook heaven for is generally believed to be the earth. They left their heavenly home without any authority from God, and since we have plenty of biblical evidence that they're here on earth, we can assume that it was their pride that cast them down. Ezekiel, again, chapter 28, 16 through 18, says this: "By the abundance of your trading, you became filled with violence within, and you sinned. Therefore, I cast you as a profane thing out of the mountain of God, and I destroyed you. O covering cherub, from the midst of the fiery stones, your heart was filled up because of your beauty. You corrupted your wisdom for the sake of your splendor. I cast you to the ground. I laid you before kings that they might gaze at you. You defiled your sanctuaries by the multitudes of your iniquities." Now again, these are all kind of like secondary references, but there are many references in the Bible that have more meaning than just the meaning of that immediate text. Okay, though cast out of heaven, Satan still retains power today. He is a master at camouflage. He can make himself look like anything he wants to look like. In fact, in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 14, we're told that he even transformed himself into an angel of light. But what will be Satan's end? Ezekiel 28, verse 8 says, "They shall throw you down into the pit." On the cross, a transaction took place. Jesus died. Hell thought, "Oh, we won. We've got the victory." But actually, the power of Satan was finished. Everyone then had the ability by the blood of Christ to be cleansed from sin. In fact, Colossians chapter 2, verse 15 says, having disarmed principalities and powers, he, Jesus, made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in his death. Now, I'm afraid too often in our world today, we don't believe there is a devil. Many folks don't believe there is a heaven. They don't believe there is a God. So obviously many of those also would not believe there is a devil. But there are even some who believe in God who don't believe there is a devil or a place called hell. Genesis 3, we're going to be introduced to this serpent who identifies himself, who we identify as Satan. And just quickly, I would like to read through some verses, not read the verses, but just give you the verses that talk about the definition or how Satan is described throughout the Bible. He is described as the wicked one in Matthew 13, 19, as the enemy in Matthew 13, 34, Beelzebub, Matthew 12, 24, prince of the devils, Matthew 12, 24, a strong man, Matthew 12, 29, a murderer, John 8, 44, a liar and father of all lies in John 8, 44, the prince of this world in John 12, 31, Belial in 2 Corinthians 6, 15, the god of this world in 2 Corinthians 4, 4, Satan in Mark 1, 13, old serpent in Revelation 12, verse 9, the tempter in 1 Thessalonians 3, verse 5, the adversary in 1 Peter 5, verse 8, angel of the bottomless pit in Revelation 9:11, Abaddon and Apollyon in Revelation 9:11, the great red dragon in Revelation 12, verse 3, the devil in Matthew 4, verse 1, and the accuser of the brethren in Revelation 12, verse number 10. So as we look at just those things, if we see the devil in just those things, we could see what an adversary he is, what an enemy he is of the child of God. Jesus said this in John 8, 44 and 45 regarding the devil. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. I just thought it would be good for us to have a little bit of a background maybe as to who the devil is before we got into next time seeing how he comes into the garden and tempts Adam and Eve. Thanks for being here. Hope to see you next time.